Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I want to know, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Today we continue our study of the character trait integrity. And once again, our text is from the book of Daniel, chapter 5. And I shall read portions of this morning's text as I proceed with the message, and may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. So if you want to get your Bibles out or get one from the pew rack and turn it to Daniel chapter 5, we'll be going through several verses during the course of the sermon. You know, one of the most difficult aspects of possessing integrity is living one's life consistently. With all the problems we encounter, it's no wonder that it is difficult to react and act the same in every situation. And today we shall turn to the prophet Daniel, who is now 80 years old. He is a senior citizen in any society. And yet Daniel again will demonstrate that he is a man of integrity. He accomplishes this by living his life at age 80 according to his godly principles, the same as he lived his life in his teens. Now the kingdom of Babylon has changed by the time we reach chapter 5 in the book of Daniel. The world has passed by Daniel. At one time, he was head of all of the prophets and sorcerers and diviners and magicians, and now he appears to be almost forgotten. At this point in his life, Daniel is very much like many of us senior citizens. The world has changed. The pace of life has become frenetic in almost every way. It is seemingly more violent. People's problems are more complex, and the consequences of those problems are more dire than in earlier times. And while connectivity to society is available to anyone through the internet or through cell phones, many seniors feel unconnected and alone. And Daniel finds himself in this very situation. He is still living in a foreign land. He is out of the loop. He is a Jew in Babylon. His position of authority has changed. No longer is he the first one called upon to solve problems perplexing the king or to interpret signs for the king. But not only had Daniel's position changed at this point in time, the earthly kingdom of Babylon has changed and was in trouble. Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who was king the last time we talked about integrity, has now succeeded to the throne of his father. And the enemy was literally knocking at the door of the massively fortified city of Babylon. And while the city was holding up fairly well, and was strong, Belshazzar's kingdom was very weak. This king, Belshazzar, was the epitome of pride. Instead of seeking God's favor and repenting of his sins, he plans a party to host the annual banquet for all the nobility. If you look at the very first verse in chapter 5, we read, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. Now, not only was Belshazzar prideful, he was sacrilegious. Because when the party had reached its drunken height, he ordered that the goblets his father had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, the very goblets used to praise the Lord God, he asked them to be brought in. It's the very ultimate in pride and arrogance. Indirectly, Belshazzar was saying, I'm above God. Or at the very least, he was thumbing his nose at God. He and the court officials used these goblets to drink a toast to the gods of gold, silver, iron, bronze, wood, and stone. Look at verses 2 through 4. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. And as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. What an arrogant act upon the part of King Belshazzar. But let me tell you, at this point, God stops this party. God stops this drunken revelry. God stops the king and the nobles in a miraculous way. At the very instant the king and his nobles were toasting, using the goblets taken from the temple in Jerusalem and praising these false gods, fingers began to write a message upon the wall. Look at verses 5 through 6. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The party is over. The party is over. King Belshazzar, who was so filled with arrogance and pride, was now reduced to fear and trembling. Imagine being as drunk as these people were and seeing fingers, not a whole hand, but fingers writing a message upon the wall. Belshazzar was literally changing color and trembling before the eyes of those present at the banquet. And in verse 7, Belshazzar cries out for meaning to the writing. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Belshazzar is desperate. He's frightened. He's scared. And he calls upon these wise men of Babylon to tell him what this message means. But they cannot. They cannot decipher the writing on the wall. They were at a loss. And Belshazzar is so desperate, he offers this great reward. He says, whoever can interpret it shall be clothed in purple, shall have a gold chain placed about his neck, and shall be the third highest ruler in the kingdom of Babylon. Now at this point, Daniel, a man of integrity, is remembered by the queen. We know the queen was not at the banquet. It said the wives of the nobleman and the king's concubine and the concubines of the nobleman. But I can imagine one of the servants runs to tell the queen of the king's problem, of his turning pale and trembling and this hand writing on the wall. And she remembers Daniel. And even though Daniel is 80 and what we would call semi-retired, God intended to use him as a powerful way to touch the life of King Belshazzar and his nobles. Daniel's reputation preceded him, and the queen remembers his past victories. And that leads us to verses 11 and 12, and this is where the queen is speaking to Belshazzar the king. And she says, "There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man, Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." Here's Daniel, 80 years old, who is called upon again to interpret an event for a king of Babylon. And much like Daniel's last prophecy for King Nebuchadnezzar, this one also contained bad news for his son, King Belshazzar. Daniel begins with a relevant history lesson concerning King Nebuchadnezzar and God. And if you read the whole chapter, you will see what I'm talking about. He reminds King Belshazzar the lesson that he was to learn was about God and not about him, not about the king. This was a great moment in time. This was Daniel's moment, a moment he had earned through being faithful to God, lo, these many years. He had spent his life telling people what they did not wish to hear. He had the character qualities of perseverance and consistency, which are essential to live a life of integrity. So Daniel interprets the writing on the wall in verses 22 through 23. And this is Daniel speaking to the king. "But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You have had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines, drank wine for them. You have praised the God of gold and silver, and of bronze, of iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways." Daniel began to interpret the writing on the wall, and the prideful king was to receive the message from Daniel, God's humble and faithful servant. And God's message was short, but it was not sweet. Verse 25, Daniel says, "This is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson." And then he proceeds to give him the bad news in verses 26 through 29. "This is what these words mean, Mene. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. And Peres, your kingdom is divided. and given to the Medes and Persians. You know, we live in a society which says, don't make waves. Be politically correct. But these modern mantras which we utter come at an extraordinarily high price. And that is the price of truth. I don't know how many of you have been listening to the news, but if you have, I'm sure you've encountered the story about Miss California in the, was it Miss America pageant? Yeah. She didn't abandon the truth. She didn't try to be politically correct or not to make waves. She told the truth. And the truth presumably cost her. And to her credit, and I prayed to God that night that I heard it on the news, that He would watch over her and bless her. To her credit, she said, I don't care. I meant it. I believe it. And too often we don't do that, friends. We back off. We say what is politically correct. We don't want to offend this person or that group or this organization. But Daniel made waves, and he definitely did not try to be politically correct. The king was going to die. The kingdom was to be conquered and divided. And Daniel faithfully delivered the news. He spoke the truth, even though it might have cost him his life. He was a person of integrity. And the king, true to his word, rewarded Daniel. He gave him the purple clothes, the sign of royalty. He gave him the gold chain. And he appointed him third highest ruler, or third highest in command in the kingdom. Once again, Daniel was promoted or rewarded for his faithfulness to God. Belshazzar's reward was quite different. He had lived his life arrogantly. He ignored the Most High God, even though his father had praised God and proclaimed God's greatness. And Belshazzar chose to rebel and sin rather than repent and obey. And his reward was death. Verse 30 proclaims the end. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at age 62. You know, in this day and age of the New Testament teaches us the spiritual consequences for rebellion against God. Paul wrote in his first letter to the church at Rome, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Daniel didn't begin being a man of integrity at age 80. He was the same at 80 as he was at 16, 30, 50. He was the same from the beginning of his life of service to God to the end of that life. He followed those godly principles. And I ask you today, do you desire to be a person of integrity? You know, it's never too late to start. You don't have to say, well, I've passed 16 like Daniel was when he would not eat the king's diet. I've passed the age of 20 like Daniel was when his friends were placed in the lion's den, the fiery furnace. But it's never too late to start. You need to begin by acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what Daniel did. This man of integrity from the very beginning. He said, I cannot follow the king's diet. God's teachings tell me this is how I should live. This is how I should eat. And he lived that life of integrity from beginning down to this point at age 80. So if you want to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do so. If you'd like to make a public profession of that acknowledgement, we invite you to come forward and we'll pray for you and pray with you. And if you'd like to become a member of this body of believers, we invite you to come and make that wish known.